Well, it's good to see you, and some of us are looking a bit more awake than others. But anyway, well done, you made it. Didn't Ali do well last week? It was an amazing preach and a fantastic time of ministry, just sensing God moving. And because we're in a series of about prayer, and so this morning we're going to continue with that, and this morning we're going to look at, does God answer all prayers? So interesting thought. And I don't know about you, but Ali and me, we have in-depth conversations often before I've even woken up. And in the morning we're talking, and the other day we were talking about the subject of prayer, why it appears that some prayers don't get answered. Then we got into the subject of talking about praying in the will of God and what is in the will of God. And I hadn't even opened my eyes at this point. I was like, "Whoa, this is heavy duty, man." But it's good. These are actually good things for us to understand. And actually, do you know what? Sometimes there isn't a black and white answer, but there is a coming to an understanding as we wrestle the truth, as we wrestle kind of actually, okay, what is the will of God? Why doesn't God necessarily answer our prayers in a way that we want them to be answered? Which is something I think that we need to hold on to, because we're not God, aren't we? And who would want the job of being God? You know, answering all of those prayers and kind of making everything come together. So, okay. So that's what I want to talk about today. These are my thoughts. This is me kind of just thinking. And so you may agree, you may not agree, but this is what kind of how I come to terms with. Okay, well, sometimes when I'm praying fervently and desperately, yet I don't see the answer that I want. Why, God, does that happen? And I know all of us at some point have asked those questions, haven't we? Or is it just me? All of us, if we're honest, have answered and asked those questions. Well, firstly, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, is a beautiful verse that says, "Jesus, you make the darkness tremble." No, that's not that one, is it? No. However, it is written, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who loved him." So I want to start out by saying that ultimately God is in control of everything. If you're a Christian and you're a believer here, God is ultimately and completely and sovereignly in control of your life and of your destiny. It's amazing to know that we can put our futures into the hands of a God that has overcome death, hell, has won the victory for us. And there is absolutely no doubt at all what God has achieved for us in the spiritual realm, that we are on the side of victory. And it is amazing, and it is wonderful, and it is an incredible place of foundation in our lives. You know, I was asking this question, actually, why is it that some people in life seem to have a really bad deal? In terms of some people struggle all of their lives with disabilities. Some people don't even get a chance for life because they may die at an early age. Or you understand what I'm saying? And I was wrestling with this and just saying, God, life seems so unfair. How can a loving God allow these things to happen? It doesn't make sense. And I was reading a book, pondering these questions, and for me, I'm a simple person. So I came to this, I read a line in the book that said, if this life is all that there is, then this life is, and this world is very unjust. Because people struggle and suffer. If this life is all that there is, then actually God is an unjust God. Hear me out. But you know, in comparison and in light of eternity, because this life isn't all that there is, we're going to live 70, 80, 90, 100, 120, however many years we're going to live upon this earth. And then our eyes are going to close, and we're going to open our eyes, and we're going to be in the presence of God, where it says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard what God has got in store." This life is not all that there is. And God doesn't promise that he's going to give us everything in this life. But there's an eternity in heaven with God that is going to be so incredible. And I believe that all the wrongs are going to be made right. There's going to be no tears, no sadness, no death, nothing that is bad or the struggles that we go through here upon this earth. But ultimately, one way or other, and I think this is something that Jonathan said, Jonathan Stanfield, one way or other, whether it is in this life or whether it is in the eternal life to come, that we will be healed, whole, well, satisfied, and in that place of unity with God. But this, yeah, go for it, Amanda. Yeah. but one person's with me. Yeah. Woo. But you have to offset that with eternity, don't you? We as Christians are taught, are encouraged to live in the light of eternity, the goodness. We know that God has a will that of what he wants to do here upon the earth. Yes. And sometimes we see that breaking through. But ultimately, we know that it, in heaven with God, it's going to be absolutely mind-blowing and amazing. So Jesus has won the battle of death. He's overcome it for us. He's overcome the greatest battle that was death itself. So we don't serve a God that is just a God of theory. We serve a God that has resurrection power and resurrection authority. And that's the God that we serve. So we don't just serve a God that just appeared upon the earth and just walked. We serve a God that demonstrated that he rose from the dead. He went to the grave and he rose from the grave. He rose from the dead and triumphed over every principality for us, so that we can live in the goodness and the light of his victory. It's amazing. It's a fantastic life to live in relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that he has overcome and won for us. We have a God who's triumphed over Satan and the death, and we serve a God of resurrection power and authority. Yet, while on the earth, we struggle at times, even though that we are on the winning side. So don't lose heart. Just turn to the person beside you, smile at them, say, "Don't lose heart, don't give up. Jesus is on your side." Okay, so why don't all of our prayers get answered? This is something that I get asked a lot, and it's something that I wrestle with a lot myself as well, and I ask God, why sometimes does it seem that God doesn't answer our prayer? Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. We're going to come back to that other scripture in a bit. Okay. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So I don't know about if you've ever asked a prayer or you've said to yourself, I've been praying for an issue. Maybe I've been praying for my husband to stop drinking and he hasn't. Or I've been praying for a job and I can't find one. Or I've been crying out to God for guidance over a particular issue, but it seems to me that no guidance has come. So we're going to look at a couple of things to actually process what is going on. One thing I do want to say is I absolutely 100% believe that every time a child of God prays to God, that God hears. God hears. He's not distant, he's not removed, but God is, the Bible talks about that he's close to the brokenhearted. And you know, God loves to show his mercy and his grace and his goodness. Whenever I read in the Word and it talks about people that were desperate, cried out to God. The lepers cried out for mercy. And Jesus stopped what he was doing and he went and ministered to them and healed them. And God loves, there's something about a cry of mercy, of needing God's mercy that moves God's heart. But God answers in different ways. I believe God answers in different ways. And sometimes God answers with yes. Sometimes God answers with no. Sometimes God answers with look at yourself. And sometimes God answers with yes. But I do believe that God hears every single prayer that we pray, because we're in relationship with God. So in verse 11, it says that God gives his children good gifts. If we ask God for a fish, he will not give us a snake. So we're asking, God says when we ask him for something, he's not going to give us anything bad. What if, though, we are praying to God and asking him for something that he knows is bad for us? Is God going to give you something that he knows is going to destroy you? I don't think that God is going to do that. And there are things that we pray that are wrong or inappropriate requests to make to God. And you can actually read in the Word, and we look at a couple of instances where disciples asked Jesus something and he said no. Actually, you're not asking in a right way. Actually, I can't give you what you're asking. And these were the people that walked with Jesus and knew him the most intimately. And the disciples went to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. And in Matthew 6 verse 9, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Have you got 10 there? Well, I think we know the Lord's Prayer anyway. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I think one of the things we've got to think about in terms of having our prayers answered, and this is, you know, kind of prayer 101, is, are our prayers in line with what? The will of God. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But I know in my life where I've wanted things, I've wanted to kind of manipulate things in my way, and I've been praying, and actually I've known this is not in the will of God. But it was my will. It was my will, not his will, that I wanted. So in prayer, we have to align our words so that our prayers are in the will of God. Prayer is about, okay, God, resting, becoming quiet, bringing issues to him. But actually discerning what is the will of God in this situation. And then when we hear what the will of God is, then to pray it into being. We seek what God's will is to be done on earth. Sometimes we just don't understand what God's will is for our lives. We want to go this way. But actually, God's telling us, no, I want you to go this way because I know what I've got. I've got good intentions and good plans for you. So stop struggling. I think sometimes we may not even realize it, but we can fight against God in our prayers. This is what I want to do. But God's saying, no, he's a good God, isn't he? And he's got good plans and intentions for you. That's what I love about God. I was sharing with somebody recently and just saying, you know, if you strip everything away, God's underlying motive for us is to love us and to do good to us and to bless us. There is no malicious or any ill intent in him at all. That's his plan and purpose. Now, I don't know if you remember, there was the incident where Peter, James, and John, they went up to the mountain, up a mountain with Jesus, and the glory of God descended. And the disciples were there, and they saw Jesus going to heaven. And they were overwhelmed. And Peter said in Matthew 17, verse 4, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So in other words, what he was saying was, is that allow us to build three shelters, and we can just live up here for the rest of our lives. Awesome. Experiencing the glory and the wonder of who you are. And God's response to Peter was, but this must be what you want from me. This is awesome. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. But actually, his response was no. There was a work for them to do, not just to stay up there on the mountaintop. He said, I've got a work for you to do, a work of fruitfulness. But they were kind of praying a prayer that actually God had to say no. It was a wrong request. There are other times and a few other incidents, but there was the time where James and John, they went to Jesus and they said, we want the best places in heaven. We want to sit this side and we want to sit that side. Give it to us. Mark 10, verse 35, if you got that there. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do this. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Have you got the next verse? 36. I can read it from here. What do you want me to do? He asked. And they replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other at your left. But Jesus said, I cannot do that. It's not for me to do that. So their request actually was wrong. These guys, I think, should know better in one sense. But their requests were wrong. The disciples who walked with Jesus were still capable of making inappropriate or wrong requests. So when the requests were wrong, the answer of the prayer was no. It's good for us to think, actually, okay, what is God saying to me in terms of why is this prayer not being answered, knowing that God hears every single prayer. That's wonderful, isn't it, to know that? We don't come from a place of doubt, but we come from a place of actually understanding, yes, God hears. John 14, verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So I can stand here and say I'm capable of making mistakes and asking wrong requests. And I think actually there are times when we all are. There are always times where actually we miss actually what God is saying. As a child, did you ever get mad at your parents? I can remember, it was the time of wearing Dr. Martens, and I had Dr. Martens that I put in my bag, and I tried to sneak them out of my home after my mum had told me not to wear them. She didn't want me to take them to school, but I wanted to wear these Dr. Martens because I loved them, put them in my bag. And as I was walking out of the garden, she said to me, and why do mums have this amazing ability, don't they, to know what you're doing? She said, what's in the bag? And I was like, and I said, my Dr. Martens. And she said, I told you not to take them. Do you know what? I turned around and I said, I hate you. And my mum actually was still reminding me of that. Not now she hasn't, because actually her memory's gone, thank goodness. But you know, I felt. You know, I was rebelling against something that actually I knew she didn't want me to do, but I wanted to do it. But my reaction was, I hate you. Because you're stopping me doing what I want to do. And I think, you may never have said to God, I hate you. But I think sometimes we get angry with God. Why? How dare you? How could this happen? And we're like children that are rebelling against pushing back against a loving father that has the best intentions for us. My mum probably didn't want me to get into trouble at school wearing these. I don't know why. But actually, she told me I should have obeyed and been obedient to what she told me to do. We can treat God sometimes like that when we don't get our prayers answered. But ultimately, he's working out a better and more perfect plan for your life. Do you believe it? Seriously. Do you really believe it? Because our loving, wonderful Heavenly Father is in control. And it takes faith to believe it when sometimes things don't go according to plan. But he is. A grandmother and a granddaughter who overheard her son talking to her son, the girl's father, about an occasional heart problem, loud beating that she experienced when she would sleep. So one evening, her father heard the daughter concerned, and so she prayed, Lord Jesus, would you please make grandma's heart stop so that she can have a rest? Good that actually God doesn't answer all the prayers, isn't it? Like grandmothers drop in here and like that. But so if you've been praying over an issue and you've experienced or sensing resistance, then perhaps take a step back, review your requests, review what you're asking. Is this what God really wants for me or not? We are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? So we know that there are principalities and powers that are coming against to try to stop the will of God. So my encouragement would be to be discerning, be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't be frustrated, maybe when our prayers aren't answered, because actually perhaps maybe we're asking not in the will of God. Okay, secondly, so sometimes God says no because we ask wrongly, but sometimes God says, wait, the timing is wrong. Anybody been on a long journey with your, and this is programmed into every child upon the planet, are we nearly there yet? I don't know how, I remember we were driving down to Devon, it was a 5-hour journey. We got to Cranley, which I think was, about 10 miles outside of Horsham, and it began, are we nearly there yet? It's like, oh my goodness. No, we're not. Children hate that. No, we're not there yet. They hate hearing it. But you know, sometimes actually as parents we have to say that, not yet. You know, it's Christmas and it's 3 days to go to Christmas. Can I have my Christmas presents? No. Not yet. It's my birthday tomorrow, but can I? Oh, just want to open my present. No, not yet. You know, sometimes I think God has to say that to us. We're like, God, I want this answer to prayer. And our Father is like, not yet. It's, you know, your birthday's coming in a couple of days. The answer's coming. But not yet. The child in us wants God to meet our need to grant every request. But again, knowing that he is faithful, he's a loving God, knowing that he's got the best intentions for us. And, you know, God isn't intimidated when we get angry with him. And he's not actually moved when we wave our fists at him or when we think that he hasn't heard. But, you know, God, and I said something similar to this the other day, when the answers to God's to our prayers is delayed, it doesn't mean that he hasn't heard. He's not reluctant. We don't have to beg him to answer our prayer. He wants to answer our prayers. God's not reluctant, but perhaps in the scheme of what God is working out, that the answer that is coming is not yet, but it's on the way. So just because God delays, it doesn't mean that God isn't going to answer. Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts." God's ways are higher, aren't they, than ours? We see in part, but God sees the whole picture. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? You know, recently there in our family, there was a situation, and I was really excited about that this thing was going to work out. And then all of a sudden, things started to go wrong. And I thought, my goodness, this is all my hopes and dreams, the things that I was getting excited about. It was a real testimony about what God was going to do. And now it looked like it was actually going down the pan. And you know what? In those situations, we can think, God, what are you doing? Don't you... I mean, if you bring this about, this is going to be awesome, and this is, I really had to check my heart and my attitude. Like, God, whatever happens, even if this thing falls apart and everything falls on its face, you're in control. You know what you're doing. And so I just had to give it back to God. And but anyway, we have to do our part, and we have to let God do His part. And I persevered, and we prayed, and actually, the whole situation has turned around, and things now look like they are working out, which is wonderful. But sometimes God says, just wait, because you know what? He's tying up all of the loose ends, because he wants to bring things about in his perfect timing. You know, when God answers prayer, it's always beautiful at the right time. And sometimes we just need to, okay, God, I'm not going to be like that child. I'm going to, come on, where is it? But actually, I'm just going to trust you and believe you. Saying that, you know, I was with a friend this week, and he told me that about a year ago, he had been diagnosed with cancer of the liver. Kidneys. One kidney had been completely eaten up with cancer, and the other one had got cancer on it. And he is a man of faith. He's a man of healing, and he's prayed for many people to be healed. And he said, you know, that what he didn't realize was the spirit of fear that came upon him after hearing that news. He said, I've prayed for lots of people, but he said, it did not look good for me. And he said, I every morning I will get up and I will battle that spirit of fear, and I would keep on going until I overcame, and then I'd get on with the rest of my day. And he prayed, and he felt actually that God had done something in his body. And so he went back to the doctors, and he said to the doctors, would you be able to give me another set of tests? And they said, no, actually, the cancer is so bad that we're going to have to freeze the whole of your kidney so that when we take it out, it doesn't infect the other area. If we put anything in there, it will just spread. We can't do any tests. Anyway, it went on and on. And when they did the next lot of x-rays, he went back for a review, and the doctor said, I don't know what has happened. I cannot explain what has happened, but the cancer on your kidneys has completely gone. Everything has disappeared. He had no chemotherapy. He had no operation, nothing. And I said to him, well, what did the doctor say? I mean, how do they... And he said, they just said, oh, well, we just must have just made a mistake. Crazy. But God healed him. Answered to prayer. But you know, the thing is, we pray earnestly, don't we? I know of people that we've prayed for that haven't been healed. But I do believe that God is a God of miracles. I've seen it. I know that God heals. And we are to pray those prayers and to pray and believe for God's best. But I know that there were people here, myself as well, that we prayed for Ken, didn't we? And Ken, for those of you that don't know, was a young man that died of cancer. He had cancer in his jaw. I don't know why this one friend would be healed and Ken went to be with the Lord. But what I do know is that Ken is with the Lord. And he now is in the presence of God, and it's indescribable the pleasure that he is experiencing now. Just amazing. But I don't know why some prayers get answered, but I do know that ultimately God has the victory. And there are some things actually we need to get healing from and we need to put into God's hands and say, God, you're in control. You're in control. But it's wonderful to know, isn't it, that a certainty, absolutely 100%, that absent in the body is present with the Lord. You leave this body, you're transported straight into the presence and the glory of God. Just amazing. You know, God wants to do greater things in our lives than we've got faith for. He really does. I think God's desperate to break out and to heal and to do the miracles. And he's able to do it. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, it's a fundamental principle in life and walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when dealing with God. Andrew Murray said, beware in your prayer, this is a great quote, beware in your prayer above everything of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by thinking that you know what he can do. So sometimes God answers prayers in the not yet, but we know that God is working in our character, and we know actually that God's more concerned about character than he is about comfort and personal convenience. God is interested in our character, developing faith, developing a strong trust and belief that God is on our side, that God is totally and completely in control. But you know, sometimes it takes faith, doesn't it, when prayers aren't answered, but he is in control. Just quickly then, sometimes prayers are answered when God says, actually, look at your own life. Because there are scriptures in the Word of God that, for instance, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, and this is a great one for the husbands, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So men, if you're struggling for your prayers to get answered, just check with your wife. Wife, how am I treating you? Are things going well with us? I'm making a joke, but actually there is a promise there. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. So we have a responsibility as men, married men, to make sure that our relationships are in a right place so that our prayers can be answered. I can see all the wives looking at their husbands saying, oh yeah, there you go. That's very good. Get Steve preaching again. Yes, right there. What does Matthew 5 verse 23 says? He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar And there remember your brother that you have something against him. Leave your gift there. Go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So actually there are things sometimes that we need to put right in our relationship with God so that our prayers can be heard. And we could say, well, it's okay. But I mean, it's in the Word of God for a reason. And, you know, even it says that some of you are sick and some of you have even died because you've taken communion in a wrong way. I mean, it's serious. It's serious how we come and gather together. Our attitudes and our response to God has got to be right. You know, sometimes it can be easier, can't it, to point the finger at God and say, why are you not answering my prayer? Rather than actually, okay, reflect, is there something? And I'm not saying that prayers aren't answered because all of us have got deep-rooted bad sin. But there are sometimes things in our lives that we need to say, okay, God, the Word of God says, actually, do I have a blind spot in my life? Reveal something to me if there is something. If I'm holding something against somebody else, then let me go and put it right. Okay, and lastly, I'll just take a few minutes and then we can finish. Lastly, God says, yes, now's the time. The timing is right and the request of what you're asking is right as well. This is 2 Chronicles. Can we put that up there? I know that was right at the beginning. We know this, but this is something that has been going round and round in my mind this week. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, when they call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And that's a very familiar verse, but simple. God calls His people ask to pray. He desires to answer, and he does here. And so just very quickly, my people, those people that are in relationship with him, humble yourself. So we're coming, as we come to pray, to seek God for the things that are on our heart. It's not about me, and it's not about getting the outcome that I want to get, but I want God's will. And we're not saying, well, if it's your will, then, and as a cop-out, but we're coming to say, God, I want your will. This is not about me. I'm humbling myself. What is your will? What is the will for my life? What is the will for this situation? What's your perspective on this? You know, God often has a very different perspective upon situations and of life. Are you with me? So we humble ourselves, and it says, pray. So reach out to God. He's the only source that we have. And get this, it's not the last resort. You know, often I've known in my life, and I'll say, oh, back in the day, a long time ago, because of course I'm perfect now. Not. Sometimes when we pray, we've done everything that we can in our own strength, and then we think, oh yeah, actually I should have prayed. And let me just try that. Maybe that will work. No, actually, prayer is the first resort. Coming to him to pray isn't the last resort. It's the only solution. Turn from your wicked ways. So again, holiness, relationship with God, intimacy with God. I'm in this mystery of prayer and just how I can pray and get God to move his hand, and how the church can pray. And even there are instances where God, the direction of things that God said he was going to do would change because people prayed and they cried out for God and God had mercy. It's a mystery. It's amazing. How does that work? Because God listens to his people. Turn from their wicked ways. Intimacy, holiness, self-seeking, rebellion. Coming back to God and just saying, God, ultimately it's your will that matters upon this earth. And I want to get in line with you, not forcing you to get into line with me. And he says, after that, I will hear and I will heal and I will move. Just amazing. Okay, I heard a story. There was a story of a young boy who had one of the most beat up, rusty bikes. Really manky, horrible. Brakes didn't work. It was just terrible. It was a hand-me-down, and it had bits and pieces, a bit like my first drum kit that I had, actually. I had my first ever drum kit. It just looked like the most hideous drum kit you could have ever seen. It was, my dad put it all together for me, bits and pieces that he had. Anyway, this child had a hand-me-down bike, and it was ugly, and it didn't have handlebar grips. He really wanted handlebar grips on it, and he was always complaining that his hands would slip off the handlebars, and he pestered his dad. He said, Dad, I want you to buy some handlebar grips for me, but his dad kept refusing. But one day, he took him to a bike shop, and as they walked into the bike shop, there was a big basket of handlebar grips. Dad, I want those handlebar grips. Please, would you give them to me? They were plastic. They had the greatest, coolest colors. Yet his dad said, no, you're not going to have the grips. Please, Dad. No, son, you don't need those grips. Almost, he turned around. Why won't you give me what other kids have got? I hate you. His dad said, come with me to the back of the shop. As he followed his dad to the back of the shop, he was upset. He was angry. He was muttering under his breath, I never get anything. It would only cost 50p. When they got to the back of the shop, the shop assistant wheeled out a brand new bike. And the dad said to the son, I didn't give you the handlebar grips because you didn't need the handlebar grips. I wanted to give you something better. And as he took that bike out of the shop, do you know what? He wasn't looking at the handlebar grips, thinking, well, actually, I would really like... He wheeled that bike out. It's like, yes, I've got what I want. He wasn't looking back to those, the thing actually that was second rate. Because God wanted, well, his father wanted to give him the best. And, you know, God wants to give you the best. And in terms of why does some prayer... It doesn't seem like it's answered. Maybe God's not answering prayer in the way that we feel it should be answered. But ultimately, God knows best. And if we come from that place of actually you're in control, you know everything, it's a great place for us to actually come to terms with those situations that seem difficult. So God always hears. So I'm just going to finish now. Sometimes he answers in no, sometimes he answers with wait. Sometimes he says, look at areas in your life. And sometimes he says, yes, now is the time. But remember, you're in a spiritual battle. So be discerning and always be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we're just going to take a few minutes just to pray. Because I think there are many people here that have been disappointed. Or maybe you've even felt your faith shaken. Because actually, I prayed for this thing. I cried out to God. And why didn't God hear me? Why didn't God answer that prayer? Why didn't God heal that person? And I'm not saying I've got all of the answers. But what I'm saying is I do know that God is faithful, that God hears. And in comparison and in light of eternity, this life is not all that there is. This life is not our only existence. This life is just a fleeting moment. We're aliens passing through. Our home is heaven. Our home is eternity. And eternity is a very, 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 very long time. But that's where we're going to spend our time in the presence of God.